You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up. The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Welcome to West of Broadway, a celebration of musical theater in Los Angeles on the West Coast. Yeah, I'm Lara Scott, theater, almost a theater veteran, but that's you, Will. I'm just a theater enthusiast, and I'm a radio host. Will Armstrong is a celebrity publicist and for real theater veteran. And we're so excited because in just a few minutes, we're going to be welcoming one of your besties, one of your really good friends to the pod.
Mm-hmm. Shoshana Bean will be joining us later, which I'm so excited. Yeah. We have so many questions for her.
Yeah, she has this really cool online masterclass series that it's such a brilliant idea, so I can't wait to ask her about that, and also like stepping into the role of Elphaba and so many things to talk with her about. But Will, we have to catch up quickly because it's been a little while.
Since
we saw each other, but last time was La La Land at the Hollywood Bowl,
which was amazing.
Yes, it was filmed to concert, so they played all the music live.
It was really, really great because a lot of people that were actually in the film showed up on stage and were kind of recreating their role in live action right there.
It was so cool to see it right in front of you. It gave you such a great connection to the movie. Like, wow, there are people that actually sang this and did the music. Yeah.
But that Hollywood Bowl is gigantic.
Yeah,
and they
can
fill a lot of people in there. Mm-hmm. It is crazy. I mean, I was getting a little freaked out. I would look around and just as far as you could see. How many people does that seat?
Oh my gosh. Tens of thousands,
yeah, like,
I think.
Because, is it 17,000?
Yeah, it's like watching a movie with a lot of friends.
Like a lot of
people. Well, I love that you and your boyfriend Bill showed up straight from moving that day. Like, you guys spent all day moving and then came to see this show, and you're finally into the new place.
Yes.
Yeah.
We moved to the Valley because I know that we filmed a couple episodes of our show in
the Culver City place.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When we moved to Burbank, and we have a little house with a little yard and peace and quiet on a little suburban street, and I thought it was going to be just amazing because I work from home. Like, I have a home office. It has been chaos since we moved there. There, across the street, a guy is building, I think it's cabinets for his kitchen. So the drills and the saws and the hammering has been nonstop since I got there. The people right next to me, I think they're airbrushing the entire inside and outside of their building. So like this pump that's just going like the entire time. And then there is this bird. I don't know what it is, but it has a vendetta for something, and it sounds like a whining puppy.
It's out to get you?
It is out to get everything on my street, and it is just nonsense. So, like, every time I have an important call, I have to, like,
go into
my guest room, into my closet, shut the doors, and I'm just, it's crazy. Like, this, I didn't know the suburbs were this loud.
I was going to say, welcome to the burbs. Yeah, well, I mean, you should do, Will, what everyone else in L.A. does that works for themselves, and that is go work at Starbucks or Coffee Bean.
Yeah,
there
it's
you go.
Probably quieter.
Yeah, it might be quieter.
I think the espresso grinder is quieter than what's going on right now on my street.
Well, I hope things settle down. You know, it takes a little while to get used to everything, but I'm glad you got your house with the yard and the little picket fence.
But yeah, and I have to say that at La La Land, I loved meeting Dallas.
Oh, my son, my 7-year-old, who's a theater fan.
He is I don't have children, but if I did, that's the kid I would want. Like, he is the coolest.
He is so charming.
He is such a great personality, and it just I felt like he really got into everything. Like, I mean, the show.
Well, I bribed him to sit still with fidget spinners, with the promise of fidget spinners being sold on the street after the performance. He got two.
Very nice.
He sat through the whole thing and loved it.
Well deserved, because he was very well behaved and great kid.
Right after that, like the day you guys were moving, I went down to Orange County, to Costa Mesa, to Sagerstrom Center for the Arts, which is this beautiful complex, Will. Mm-hmm. And they have Leatherby's Cafe Rouge right next door. It's kind of like, I think it's actually owned by Patina, which is right next to the Amundsen.
Very nice.
And they had it was the Bodyguard musical, which we saw at Pantages here in L.A., in Hollywood.
You went back for a second.
I did. I saw the Bodyguard a second time. And you know what? It was even better.
Amazing.
But it was so interesting to see what got laughs in Hollywood and what didn't get laughs in Orange County, because it's a very different crowd.
Absolutely.
And, you know, what was maybe a little bit more bold in one place and kind of played down, you know, like a little more low key. But I mean, the show just got better and better. And when we talked to Judson Mills, Frank Farmer, the Bodyguard, and then Jasmine Richardson, who played Nikki Marin, and then understudy Deborah Cox for Rachel, they said, you know, we compare notes after each show. We make it better and better. And it's true. I saw it. Yeah.
That's so great.
It was
so wonderful to see them again.
I totally cried. Like, everybody's dancing at the end. And yeah, it's such a fun show. and Segerstrom Center is really bringing incredible arts programs, and they have kid programs, too, that they're going to pick back up with in the fall. So it's absolutely worth checking out. I'm going to say it's worth the drive from L.A. to head down there.
Nice.
It's just a beautiful theater. And then, of course... okay, so it's Tuesday right now. Sunday night was the Tonys.
Right.
Oh, yeah. What did you think? What did you think of Kevin Spacey as a host?
I thought he did a fine job.
Mm-hmm. But not Neil Patrick Harris fine?
That's the thing. Is it just like...
Or Hugh Jackman?
Both Hugh and Neil Patrick are just... Why don't we just use them all the time? Because, I mean, you can't... Like, I love them. And they set a very high bar. I thought Kevin did great, but I definitely missed the showmanship and the presentation that comes along with Neil and
just the Neil Patrick Harrisness of it. He's one of a kind.
He's incredible.
So
I miss that. And but aside from that, it was a big night for Dear Evan Hansen.
Yes.
Which was
Wait to see that. I hope it comes to LA. And you're going to be talking to someone to find out about the tour, right?
So I was so excited about the show, and I wanted to find out exactly when. So I called Scott Murrow, who is a television and Broadway producer, and I got his number and I called him because I have a call set with him tomorrow to discuss him possibly coming on our show, so we can congratulate him, we can talk about the show, and also find out when it's coming to LA.
You're people who know people.
Yes.
For real. So you can get anyone on the phone. We joked about that. You know everyone through Facebook. Well, I was telling you, Will, I think I saw this right at like flash by on Twitter today, that Dear Evan Hansen, like coming off of the big Tony's win for Best Musical, the album is higher than Katy Perry's new one, Witness. Like, even after she did, like, the Facebook Live for a couple of days and everything, like, that's... And it's such a relevant message. I don't want to give too much away for anyone who hasn't seen it, but it's very timely, you know, with the social media aspect to it and alienation and feeling like you don't matter. It's just... I think it's an important message that I want people to see.
Very, very true and very well said. And The music from the show, I mean, even the song that they played on the Tonys last night, I was singing it in the car on the way here.
You didn't rear-end anyone this time, did you? Okay. Like he did, but yeah, if you listen to our Bodyguard podcast, Will was lost in the rapture of Whitney.
I made a very nice friend with the woman I rear-ended.
Well, I saw some people the other day, and I was like, this is like what Will was describing. Somebody had been rear-ended, and they were like laughing and joking. Yeah. And I was like, wow, maybe they're in love. I don't know.
Well, and that's the thing. It's just like, it can be the most stressful thing in your life. And thank God no one was hurt, and it was just a little tiny.
Yeah.
Like, well, a little update. They never even followed up. Like, I didn't hear from insurance. I didn't hear from anyone.
Thank you, nice lady.
I know.
Rear-ended.
Exactly. Yeah. She was lovely. I gave her my card. I was hoping she'd call, but no.
Yeah.
Just never heard from
her. Take her to a show. Yeah, so sweet. Well, one other thing about the Tonys, Bette Midler. Like, how great that she... Has she won a Tony before? Was this her first acting Tony?
I think
Tony?
This is her first...
Oh, yeah, God, for the Hello Dolly revival.
It was so good.
She was so great. And I love they're trying to play her off. And they just keep playing louder. And she just keeps going for, like, 5-6 minutes and is swearing. And it was funny.
She's got something to say.
I saw a video online, and it was taken from inside the theater, you know, so you can hear the reaction of the people sitting around, whoever took the video. And they were just loving it. They were going crazy.
Yeah.
And she's thanking everyone. She's thanking... she just kept going on and on. I don't think she left one person out, but it was beautiful.
Yeah, it was a big night for Hello Dolly and for Dear Evan Hansen.
Yes, and Miranda from Sex and the City, Cynthia Nixon.
Oh, I love her.
I know, I love her too. It's so cool. All right, so speaking of amazing, powerful, fantastic women, let's get to your friend, Shoshana.
Absolutely. Okay, so Lara, you know that before... When I was a professional dancer, and I did it for a number of years, when I was transitioning out, I wasn't ready to completely let go.
Mm-hmm.
So I kept one foot in it by going on tour with the first national tour of Wicked, where I did merchandise and I was an assistant stage manager. And I joined the tour when Stephanie J. Block was Elphaba in Wicked, and then Julia Murney took over for her. And then I had the amazing opportunity to not only meet, but become friends with our next guest, who is Shoshana Bean. And I'm so excited that she's taking the time to speak with us, because she has a couple of different projects that I want to share with our listeners. And I just have a bunch of questions with her that I just want to catch up.
Yeah. Since we started the podcast a couple of months ago, you're like, we have to get my friend Shoshana on. And I see why. So let me share her background. Okay. Shoshana is a veteran of the Broadway stage, having made her debut in the original cast of Hairspray and starring as the very first replacement for Elphaba in Wicked. Most recently, she appeared as Fanny Bryce. Can you give us a hello, gorgeous?
And funny girl.
Hello,
well, you get
gorgeous.
And in the pre-Broadway production of the new musical Beaches as Cece Bloom, for which she earned a Jeff Award nomination for Best Lead Actress in a Musical. Shoshana has sold out solo concerts around the globe, lent her voice to countless films and television shows, amassed millions, like seriously millions of views on YouTube, toured with Postmodern Jukebox, performed alongside Brian McKnight, Phoebe Winans, and she also sang backup for Michael Jackson for his 30th anniversary concert at Madison Square Garden. Welcome, Shoshana Bean.
Hey.
Wow.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's incredible. You know, something that jumped out at me really quick is, what is it like to walk that line between musical theater and then also you're a recording artist and you're doing, you know, straight up concerts and everything. How do you balance that?
I have to be honest, it hasn't been easy. And it's something I still struggle with to this day. And I think only, gosh, probably within the past couple of weeks, with the launch of my new project, I think I've come to some kind of peace with it. But I think it's always been hard because I have a lot of love for one and have had a lot of success with one, and the other, you know, the kind of success that I desire has, I guess I could say, eluded me, or I just haven't quite gotten there yet. So, I mean, it's been hard. It's a long answer. Are you sure?
We have time.
It's a loaded long answer. I just feel like when I entered the industry, you know, 20-some years ago, almost, it wasn't favorable to be a Broadway person in the recording industry. No one had really crossed over in sort of the, like, you know, I mean, anyone after Barbara really hadn't done it. Adina had done it a little bit, and Heather Headley had done it a little bit, but no one had really. And every time I would take my stuff in, they're like, you're Broadway. So there was just kind of this stigma that they were very separate beings. And only, so I felt like I was like, well, now I'm doing theater, and that's all I'm doing. And then I left theater, and I'm like, now I'm only doing music. It felt like I had to make very black and white decisions.
Sure.
Well, now, you know, more and more from like Glee and Smash and Hamilton's success and all those types of things, and even like the reality competitions, the Voices and the American Idols, it's just sort of like, it's all just, all the lines are a lot blurrier, and there is no strict, you know, categories to be placed in and stuck within. So that's been, that's made it easier for me to be able to do more of both. But
the entire reason why we created West of Broadway was to celebrate the resurgence of musical theater and how prevalent it is over here on the West Coast. Like, it's been so exciting with the Hairspray Live on television and Grease Live and Sound of Music Live and Glee, and like you said, it's really cool to see those lines blur and these Broadway caliber talents being celebrated across mediums.
Mm-hmm.
But something happened to me the other day, Shoshana, I wanted to talk to you about. I was watching the Tonys, and the amazing Gavin Creel won his Tony Award. And then I was online watching like the footage backstage, and they asked him advice about people wanting to break into musical theater. What advice do they have for young musical theater performers? And he said, get off social media. And right away, and I instantly thought of you and how you masterfully handle and connect with your fans through social media. And I think just a blanket statement like get off social media is a little bit like you're missing a huge opportunity. Tell me about how social media has shaped your relationship with your fans.
I think I credit my entire career to social media. You know, I think I was given an amazing opportunity with Wicked. And to be honest, I played the role like right when YouTube was like taking off. And at first that was terrifying because I was like, please don't post videos of me playing Elphaba because it's not meant to be seen on camera. It's meant to be seen live. But really, like, the reason I get to tour and travel the world and do what I do is because of YouTube. It's because of my engagement directly with my fans on all social media fronts. It's how I sell my music. It's how I promote what I'm doing. It's the only thing I have as of now. So I have to respectfully disagree with my incredibly wise and intelligent dear friend. I know that when you're given 20 seconds to give a soundbite, that was his summation, but I'm sure his reasons are super valid and hold a lot of weight and have helped him be as successful as he is. But I think we do two different things.
Yes.
And for me, one of the number one things that I advocate and suggest is to make your presence on social media known, you know. It doesn't make you any less talented. It just, you know, there's there are so many parts of the business that you have to master, not have to, that you have the opportunity to master. And
yes.
For me, you know, I can only speak for myself. I know that it has been, it's been my foundation, really.
Well, definitely, you know, Will told me, oh my gosh, you have to go on YouTube, you have to look up Todrick and Shoshana doing 90s Disney. And for anyone who has, it's so good. Like, you guys are doing Little Mermaid songs and Aladdin, but it's all to the tune of, like, Pony from Genuine, if you're like, bow,
tsh, yeah.
bow. And then when you guys were singing A Whole New World to the tune of This Is How We Do It from Montel Jordan, it was so good. But, you know, like you were saying, you've used it so well because you really get a sense of your personality and that you're playful and so creative and you have this powerhouse voice, and I got that in like 3 minutes. You know,
did
it's awesome.
Did I see online that you are planning on doing a Disney 2 with Todrick? Did I hear something?
Oh,
like
that? What, honey?
Was there talk about doing a sequel to that video?
There is, yes.
Oh,
I was like, if not, can we start that?
We all do this stuff, you know, that and the Drunk Wicked and all these things we do. It's like we do it as a one-off, and then it gets wildly popular, and we want to do it again. But the difficulty of coordinating schedules at this point with everybody involved in these things.
Of course.
So it's a matter of, like, getting Todrick and I in the same place for at least 2 or 3 days to be able to conceive it, record it, and then film it, you know?
Yes.
Well, one thing we see you doing solo is your Facebook live chats, and it's so great how you're interacting with your fans. Can you talk a little bit about how that works for somebody who hasn't been on there with you?
Yeah, I think, again, I just go back to, like, utilizing the social media, because what I've learned for myself as a fan, of me being a fan of other people, you know, it's not just their product that I want. The people that I'm really interested in, I'm attracted to their art, and therefore I want to know more about them as humans. You know, I find it fascinating. Like, I'll use John Mayer and Adele as an example. You know, those are two people that I greatly admire. And it's, you know, going to Adele's concert is so much more than just hearing the music that I love. It's like I got to get to know her for 2 and 3 hours,
yes.
you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think for a lot of time, and Will remember this, you know, during Wicked and stuff, like, it was a hard role. It's a hard job. You know, the work you have to do to maintain and show up every night, and then to walk out the stage door, and then people want more from you. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? They want pictures, and they want to tell you stories, and they want to give you gifts, and they want your autograph, and if you aren't in a good mood, you know.
Right.
And I remember, like, after Wicked, I just kind of, like, sealed myself off from wanting to be available to people, because I guess I was protecting myself. I don't know. I just, maybe I was worn out and I didn't know how to refill myself. I don't know. But in more, I'd say even just in the past year, I've really gotten that, like, it's not just my voice. It's not just my songwriting. It's not just whatever music they came to hear, they want a connection. And so that's what social media, Facebook Live or whatever else is, like, enables me to do, is give them that connection, you know, and whether it's answering questions or taking requests or whatever it is, if that's what they want and that's what keeps them engaged, and that's, like, you know, it's actually become a joy for me to do, to get to know these people and
clearly.
And I get it. Does that make sense?
No, Shoshana, like, this is going to sound so nerdy of me, but I have my phone set to alert so that when you go live with your Facebook Lives, I watch them. And to see, it is so beautiful to watch you connect with all of your fans and all, like, and you answer their questions and you sing for them. And, like, and just to watch, like, there was this one moment where you were just like, I'm enjoying this so much. And, like, you give the gift of your authentic self to so many people through this medium. If you're listening now and you haven't done it yet, go, please check out Shoshana when she does her Facebook Live.
Turn the alerts on.
It's such a gift. It's wonderful.
It's such the simplest thing that I can do. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I couldn't have guessed. Like, I think, let me go live when I'm, like, backstage at a show. And let me go live when there's something cool to see. But really, the most viewership and the most engagement comes when I'm sitting in my apartment with no makeup on. Like, it's not a show. It's just, like, and it's the simplest thing is sometimes the last thing you go to. You think it needs to be this. And so part of me just feels like a duty to show people that, like, you can be an artist and a human. You don't have to be Beyonce,
yes.
who is, like, pulled and protected and perfect at all times, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's humanity to it, and I think it inspires other people to be brave or to take risks or to, like, go for it when they see, like, Shoshana is as goober of a human as I am. She keeps dropping her phone and it's not charged. She's a mess. Well, I'm a mess too, so maybe I can, you know what I mean? Like,
yep.
I felt so long like I had to uphold some kind of illusion, that I was something that I clearly in real life am not, but that's what I thought people wanted or would sell. And now I'm like, I get to just be exactly who I am, and that's what they want? This is the best.
Exactly.
Well,
exactly.
I love the part I was watching. I want to talk about your masterclass series that's online. I was watching kind of a little preview for that. And I think the moment I fell in love with you is when you started wrapping your scarf around your head saying, okay, I can't get sick. Like, I have to sing. So I want to talk about this. I think it's such a brilliant idea, this whole online series that you have. So what's that all about?
It just came from like an idea to give back. I just feel like there's so many secrets and illusions going on, and no one is sharing, not because of selfishness, probably because of time, or they haven't thought of it, or, you know, they haven't, it takes an amount of work to get it together and make the whole thing happen, and most of the people who can do that are probably doing 8 shows a week or whatever else, you know. I just happen to have a chunk of time off at the top of the year, and I thought, like, why is this so taboo? And I actually suffered from a couple, like, difficulties vocally at the top of this year, and I'm like, and when I started to talk about it, people were like, oh, yeah, I had that, or oh, yeah, I did that. And I'm like, why does nobody, this has been, like, the scariest, most shameful couple of months of my life. Like, why isn't anyone talking about this? And then I thought, like, let me just, you know, or friends of mine that took over in Broadway shows, and they're like, why didn't you tell me how hard this was? Really, it started because my friend Amber Riley is playing Effie in Dreamgirls over in London. And she kept hitting me up with questions about stuff, and I kept leaving her these long voice memos. And I'm like, maybe I do have something
yes.
valuable to share from, like, my time in the trenches, you know, of, like, what to expect from 8 shows a week and how to prepare yourself and, like, who are the go-to people that can help you and what are the remedies and what are the, you know, when you feel like this, what can you do? You know, and I'm not a doctor and I'm not, like, an expert, but, you know, I know it worked for me, and I just feel like we, again, back to the social media, like, every answer I need for what I'm going through is at my fingertips because of this amazing internet, whether it's a video or a book to download or a teacher that lives in another country that I can work with because there's Skype, you know, that I was like, why not make this stuff available? So, yeah.
Amazing. I remember when we were on tour, Elphaba is such a difficult role or such a challenging role, and your voice isn't always 110%, but how do you give that dynamic performance and sing through the vocal trauma that you're having at the time and stuff like that? It's just like,
I mean, yeah, that's where all this, I think it's, you know, for me back then it was just trial and error. You know, I had a good voice teacher. I think also it's like an athlete. Like, at some point your body just knows how to do it, even if you're not at 100%, but there are ways, you know, there's ways to better take care of yourself. There are better techniques to use. There are ways to save yourself. You know, we would do 2 show days. Like, I'm not giving 150% at the matinee. You just can't to make it through 2 shows. Mm-hmm. You got to, like, have some alternate notes and just pace yourself. And a lot of that stuff, you know, I can preach till the cows come home and people can watch these master classes and everything else and hopefully call them to mind when they're in the moment. But a lot of this stuff is just trial and error. But there were, you know, like I said, when I didn't know how to then, you know, give of myself for 3 hours and then walk out the stage door and give more of myself.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, I would love to prevent people from making the same mistakes I did, to know how to refill themselves and fuel up and be able to continue to give and know that stage door thing is part of the job. No one told me it was part of the job, you know? No one said, like, this is the performance, too. You know what I mean? This is part of it.
Oh, my gosh.
You go out there and smile. These people have waited for 45 minutes, like, they flew from all over the world, and I just didn't get that, you know, and so I just, you know,
it's incredible.
I don't remember what the question was.
No, but it makes so much
sense.
You
answered it. Yeah, you covered it.
And, okay, good.
And musical
good.
Theater is such a personal thing. Like, you're sitting in the seats alone in the dark with these people on stage. Like, they're going on a journey with you, and they've emotionally connected to you. And then you're going to walk out of the building, and they're going to see you, and they want to continue that.
Sounds like All About Eve. Well,
yeah.
The way you're describing it.
It absolutely
Eve Harrington. Yeah. No, but, you know, it was great, too, when I was watching, you know, the preview for the class series. I love that you talked about auditioning as well and say, you know, look, they're just trying to, you know, fill a role and they need to see all of you. So be fearless. I felt like I was watching Great Tips on Life. So not just for people maybe who want to do musical theater, but I mean, you know, like you're saying, okay, the stage door is now part of the job in the theater. Sort of being on camera, being on is everybody's job now with social media. And I feel like this is valuable for anyone
right.
who has to speak or perform in any job that they're in.
Well, I remember one of the things that you mentioned in one of your videos was when you're auditioning, to walk in and just decide that you're going to give a gift of your performance to these people behind the table. So for just the 2 minutes that you have, I'm going to entertain you. And it's not, hire me, but it's just like, here, I'm going to share something that I love to do with you people. I hope you enjoy it. You know, and I thought that was such great advice. And I mean, maybe easier said than done, but.
Yeah, but it's a muscle. It's a muscle like anything else. And I think that it's easier than you think it is.
Yes.
You know, it sounds crazy until you just set that intention and it's like putting a train on the tracks. Then you just kick back and enjoy the ride, you know? And I think that I love hearing that people who are not in theater benefit from these masterclasses because, you know, the bottom line is like, whatever profession you're in, we all at some point want something from someone else, are trying to prove something or impress someone or make a product and sell it. And I think at the end of the day, we have our general society has gotten off course with giving and generosity and like the purpose of it. Like if money wasn't even a factor, I would still do this,
right.
You know? So, and that just means A, I love what I do, and B, I feel like what I have to share is something that can benefit you or help you in some way. So why not make that the forefront, if that makes any sense at all? I just, you know, I read this book, and I'll offer it up here. It's called The Go-Giver. And that book was literally the turning point. I read it late last year, and that was the turning point for me where I was like, oh, my gosh, that applies to everything, auditioning, performing, you know, business meetings, networking. It changed my whole mind about that dirty word, networking, and, like, yeah, that whole, like, thing that I used to just associate with, like, being Hollywood and greasy and all of that is just, it doesn't have to be that, you know, when you come from a place of generosity. It's just, that book changed my life.
What? Exactly. And thank you for sharing that. I will post a link to the book on our social media.
I was just writing
media.
That down exactly. So I could read it. Yeah, it sounds so good.
So you come from a family of educators. I know your mom runs a magnet school in Portland. Is that right?
Or say again?
She runs a school in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah. She's a dance teacher at a performing arts high school.
Exactly. Yeah. And so it's just like education has always been something that's like, I know here in Los Angeles, you've worked closely with Education Through Music Los Angeles. Is that and I know that you are currently in the process of working on your fourth studio album, and you're crowdsourcing funds through what is it, PledgeMusic.com?
PledgeMusic.com/ShoshanaBean. Yeah.
Excellent. And I believe that a portion of the proceeds that you're raising, you're donating to Education Through Music Los Angeles.
Yes.
Incredible. That's amazing. Because I know that you've done a lot with students in Los Angeles, where you'll go in and you'll teach classes. What organization is that you work with that in the past?
Oh, gosh.
Oh,
it's breaking up. What was the question? I'm sorry.
Never mind. We'll edit all that out. Don't worry about it.
<I'm sorry. laughs>
It's
what
okay.
What was the question?
No. So you're working on your fourth studio album.
Yes.
So exciting. And I know. And one of the many videos that I love is the one that you did, I Want It That Way, from Backstreet Boys to Big Band. And and this is all going to be Big Band set on its ear. Which is going,
yes.
An 18-piece band is incredible. So how can people get involved? And I know that, like, you started crowdsourcing this like a week and a half ago, and you're already at 80%. Is that correct?
Yes, it's crazy.
Amazing.
And I was terrified. That's the other bit of advice I love to offer is, like, if you're nauseous and you are scared shitless, am I allowed to swear?
Yes, absolutely.
If you're nauseous and you're scared out of your mind, you're in the right place. Because I know how to make records. I know how to make records cheaply, and I know how to make them easily and quickly. And I just thought, this Big Band thing terrifies me. I have to do it. And the energy and the enthusiasm that has just surfaced since I announced it shows me that I made the right decision. I'm still terrified.
Sure.
Every day I check it, you know, because 18 pieces, it's just a big, involved, expensive process. And and I've always just made excuses and cut corners because just for fear that the budget wouldn't be there. And I'm just blown away that already 80% of the budget is manifesting. And I hope that we go beyond because, you know, the more we raise, the more that's pledged and the more pre-sales, like the more I'm able to do more videos, more touring, like
it's awesome.
All of that. So,
yes.
Well, it just makes so much sense to me because you've always been so good at finding talent in your band, like the people that play like your backup and your backup singers, and they are always so incredible. And it's just, you always put on such a great show. I think you're gonna have no problem putting together 18. Like, people will be fighting to get into this 18-piece band.
Oh, you sweetheart, thank you. That's a lovely vote of confidence. Thank you.
I can't wait. I'm so proud of you, and I'm so excited for you. And what's one of the other things I love is that you're so organized. all of this is, you can find links at ShoshanaBean.com. So like everything leads back, like there's links to all of your social media, and you're on Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. And so all of it's just ShoshanaBean.com. So it's so easy to stay on top of all of the things that are going on, whether it's a tour date or an album dropping or a video posting or what have you, or starring in a new musical.
Thank you.
So yeah, I'm
so exciting. And we'll put that at westofbroadwaypodcast.com too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, to link everybody.
Thank you. Awesome.
Yeah, ShoShana, thank you so much. Yay.
We really appreciate your time.
My pleasure, you guys. Thank you.
And we wish you the best, and we will wish you continued support, and we're always rooting for you over here.
Yes.
Okay.
We'll be watching on Facebook Live.
Love you so much.
So nice to meet you. Thank you,
nice
sweetheart.
Nice to meet you. Bye, ShoShana.
Bye now.
Bye.
That was so nice.
She's so cute.
She's the best.
Oh, my gosh. Amazing.
Well, that's the thing. It's just like, I know this, like, she's my friend. Like, mm-hmm. It's so cool to see her give that to all of her fans, like through social media, like to her Facebook lives and the videos that she posts and these master classes.
Yeah.
It's just like the authentic ShoShana Bean is there for people to enjoy and appreciate and learn from.
I should have asked how she has so much energy to do this, but it's probably in the master class. So I'm going to take that. That's so cool. Okay, so quickly before we wrap up, we want to talk about some musical news because there was a couple things that came out. I was texting you like, oh my God, this happened. Oh my God, Cher, they're doing a musical based on the life of Cher.
Yeah, Cher broke the news herself. She tweeted and she was just, apparently there was a top secret read through in last January, and just recently she just said, just got off the phone with writers and directors of musical. There's a performance in theaters with actors, dancers, singers. It'll be on Broadway in 2018.
Yeah, just call it Cher the Musical.
Yeah.
I mean, 2018, technically, as we're recording this in June of 2017, that's like 6-7 months away.
Yeah. It's going to move fast. I think, from what I read, I think three different women will be playing three different parts of Cher.
Like young Cher.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then like superstar Cher.
Actually, Cher is ageless. So I don't want to say young Cher, but just, you know, Sunny and Cher, you know, and then like Moonstruck Cher.
Exactly.
And then
Turn Back Time Cher.
Oh my gosh. Remember with the sailors and the thong? Exactly. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll never forget that.
But yeah. And speaking, moving from Cher to Cyndi Lauper.
Yes.
She's working on Working Girl. She's going to be doing the music.
Is that great? And you know, that one, obviously the movie from the 80s with Melanie Griffith and Sigourney Weaver. That woman is my secretary. Like, what a fantastic story. And I hope that Cyndi can work in Shebop somehow. Right? But she did Kinky Boots.
Yeah, Kinky Boots, which won, she won a couple Tonys for that, one for Best Musical. And it's currently still running on Broadway. And what's his name? Brendan Urie from Panic at the Disco is currently starring in it.
Oh my God, that's amazing. Yeah, he's so fantastic. Well, it's just funny because so many people still just think of Girls Just Want to Have Fun, Cyndi Lauper. And it's like, if you've never seen her in concert, I mean, listen to like a full album. There is so much more to her than that. So that is amazing. So yeah, that is your Broadway news. And also, we're so excited to be a part of BroadwayWorld.com. You can find the podcast on there, and they post news every day.
If you enjoy listening to West of Broadway, you might want to check out Broadway's Backbone, Broadwasted podcast, and Behind the Curtain.
Broadwasted. I love hearing all the names.
Broadwasted, they totally drink while they're recording.
Yeah, so do we. No. Should we? Maybe we should start. I don't know. But that's awesome. We're so happy to be a part of that family and certainly honored to be a part of that. And thank you for joining us and listening to us.
If you want to keep up with us, you can find everything at westofbroadwaypodcast.com, and that's links to all of our social media and all sorts of good stuff.
Well, on behalf of Will Armstrong, I'm Lara Scott, and if you're looking for us, you can find us just west of Broadway. Yay!
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.